wherever the revelation comes at any time of life, that's the end of the world. Because what revelation is the revealing of the invisible world. And to reveal the invisible world, you've got to break the veil and the shale of the visible world. And you've got to consume as light would shatter as to the shale. And then you've got to come up with that which is inside, like the groceries in the sack that you take home or in the basket, you know. So the groceries is revealed when you take them out of the sack. Then there's another step. You've got to take the groceries out of the can or out of the shale or whatever. And then when you break them down, you break them down and you chew them real good till they're really broke down. You swallow them down, then they turn into energy. And then you get the power and might of those things that you have. So then I talk to you about heavenly things. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I talked to you about earthly things, and you didn't understand. Now he said, if I talk to you about heavenly things, how are you going to understand? See, it's not given to the world to know, but unto you it's given to know. So then I talk to you about heavenly things, and you go into these great realms, if you're able to enter into them, that means you're children of the other world. If you can't, then you're not children of the other world. You're not children of the other world. So then, the other world is coming into view now. And as it is revealed, the veil, the shadow, the light of the other world is coming in. The veil, the shadow is dissipating. And as to the shadow, you yourself, as the image that I see, as I behold with my natural eyes, is dissipating now. It's going away. I don't see you anymore. I say, where's Brother Taylor? I don't see him anymore. I say, well, somebody says, well, there he sits. I say, no, that's a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know him after the flesh. That once was as an Adam, all die. He's buried. Baptism, now he's resurrected. He's a new man. Old things have passed away. That's a member of the body. Somebody says, Frank Taylor? Yeah, same way. George Pine, yeah, same way. Jimmy, same way. Oh my God, somebody says, the body of Christ. Yes, believe it or not, it's the body of Christ. Somebody says, but what I see is that same old repulsive image. That's because you're blind. There's people that's blind in the world and you have to take their hands and lead them. See, a natural blind man in the world is typical of a spiritual blind man. That man that's looking at natural Frank Taylor. He's seeing lying vanities. He's not blind as to the concept here, as to eye nerves. But to see Christ instead of Brother Taylor, the man's blind. He cannot see. So he's not a creature of the other world. So while he beholds the fault of Brother Taylor or somebody else, I find no fault in him. It was said of Jesus, I find no fault in this just man. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, in that you are God's elect by grace, even by foreknowledge, predestinated in Christ before the world ever was? So I talk to you about heavenly things. And I'm trying to make you to see into the spiritual world. I'm trying to make you to understand as your pastor, as a tutor, that you're more than a mortal man and woman. That's mortality, Achanda. But you're beyond that. You're more than a man. You're more than a woman. Not as in your first birth, not as what you are, as to what you think yourself to be. Thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, not soberly, according to the measure of faith that God has dealt unto you. But I'm speaking of as in Christ, as to what you are, as to the measure of Christ, as to what you are in the measure of the Lord. When you look on the flesh, flesh is nothing. All flesh is as grass. It profiteth nothing. Man and woman, like I told my wife today, when you come into this realm and you see into the other world, there's not anything around you worth anything. It's vanity, all vanity. Solomon said all vanity. You look at people, they're nothing. Man's nothing. Woman's nothing. It's just nothing. See, because you're looking into the world of reality and you're seeing reality and you realize that even a man or woman is just a typical thing of a lying vanity that's just here for a little while and God's letting life pass through that veil as to a formation of life, as to an image of life, and as to a projection of life, as to bring the light out of the receptacle, as we say. And actually, it's nothing. And from the dust they are, to the dust they shall return. They're nothing. With all their frolics, with all their passions, with all of their brilliance, with all their money, they're actually nothing but a heap of dust. And you don't understand that as to an expression until you enter into that world. And then you look and you think, my God. You begin to feel that. You begin to see that. You begin to understand that. You begin to know that. And it's altogether a different world. So this morning, many things were said. I don't know what the title of the tape. What was it, Chuck? A Change of World. Well, that's what it was. I come up here, and that's why the devil, he tries to make me hack. He'll do anything that he can. He wants to stop the move of God. He wants to stop a revival. He wants to stop the minister, but he can't do that. So when he realizes that this is going to be a great detriment to his kingdom, and he can't stop it, then he sets in to hinder it as much as he can, to keep the effects of it down as much as he can, so that it won't cripple him any more than it would if he suppresses it. And it's a great war. It's a great war. The Bible said Satan departed from Jesus just for a little season. Then he was back warring with him again. Young Moses the same way. Tried to kill Moses as a baby when he found out he was a proper child. So folks, I'm just trying to talk to you as one that loves you as Jesus would. I'm trying to get you to see, as I have said in the beginning of some of our messages, that there is before us, or there is around us, three minds. One of them is satanic, great, mighty, powerful, the mind of Lucifer, a fallen angel. Another is the mind of Christ, great, mighty, powerful, the one that spoke everything into existence. And then there's another mind, the mind of man. And I've tried to differentiate as telling you that one mind is to Lucifer, you can discern it because it's evil, it's corrupt, it's gullible, it savors the things of the world, it loves the things of the flesh, it magnifies the flesh. And the other one is of God because it magnifies the things of the Spirit. And it's pure, it's holy, it's godly, it's to be about the Father's business. It's going about doing great things to help the widow, the poor. It's growing in the grace and knowledge of a great master. As to you receiving it, proportionally speaking. And then there is the mind of man, which is caught in between. And the God mind is made for heaven. The satanic mind is made as to the rule of the darkness, as to intellectual ignorance. And then the mind of man is made as to necessity. It's the mind of necessity, as to that which is necessitated to life, as to brush my teeth, comb my hair, tie my shoe, go to work, make a living, make up the bed, scrub the floors, whatever is clean and upright. And God has made this world, and he's put man in this world, and he overshadowed man with the God mind. But man could not receive it because he was just too much of an infant as to be able to understand it, and never been given to him. And even to say, thou shalt not eat thereof, he could not even get a hold of that. So God did not charge it against him as to an eternal death or separation, which is really death, but only as to a sleep. And the day that thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. That is to come to be a Christian, it's only a sleep. Your spirit separating from your body. But if you come to the knowledge of God and you don't follow God, then it is death, which is separation of your spirit from God, who is a spirit, and as to the second death, the lake of fire, and that's what it's all about. But we pass from the second death unto life, that is, we pass from death unto life, we shall never come into condemnation, because we're not in the flesh, neither are we in the world. Been chosen out of the world, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things, as to the coming into the millennium. This is a great, wonderful thing. I'd like to pause for a minute to say that we're glad to have Danny here for the house on. They've come in from Mexico, and I'm aware of the fact now that his wife was here this morning. He and his wife are with us, and we're certainly glad to have them. Now, when I talk with you, years ago, you could not have got these things. There was no way. For a number of years, I dealt with you. You didn't get them. But you are getting them now. And the reason that you're getting them, as to whatever measure that is according to the individuality, as to the foreordination of God, even before you came into the world. But the thing is, you are getting them. Now that you are getting them, it is because you've learned to be still and know that he's God. And to let him move and to think deep and to listen carefully and to give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. Lest you should let them sleep. And take heed how that you hear them, so that you can properly categorize them in your mind. So you're beginning to get things. And that means you're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So I'm talking to you of these things as much as I can. As long as you got your mind on the world, then you know that Satan's got a hold of you, because he's the prince of this world. And this world belongs to him, and the world and everything in it is going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide it forever. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of God. So when I come up here to talk with you, I search and I look. And I think, what will I say? How will I say it? And I think, well, dear God, I got so many things to say before I can even get into that. You know, what will I do? What will I do? And yet, some of you are moving along. See, you're moving along to a place to where I can say things to you, and you can understand something that we're saying. So let's see if we can break into a thought or two tonight. I'm going to read again from over in the book of Revelation. Okay, now, I'm going to refer back to Revelation 10, because today I was asked some questions about this. I wanted to mention some things there and differentiate a little bit, and I didn't get to. So maybe I can comment. I know I can't get into much, but maybe I could comment a little to the extent that you may understand what I'm saying. Reading from Revelation 10, if you got your Bible. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet were as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and we had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. What is this now? This is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Read it again. The first chapter. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. And this is what I want you to notice: for the time is at hand. The revelation comes, that means the time is at hand. Okay, now, I want to point out something in the natural. I wish we just had 2 or 3 hours. But just point out something in the natural, something that you can understand. It says here in Revelation 10, it's in the seventh verse. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now there's a lot of dispute in the religious world as to what this means, as to what this is, and as to the time that it will come to pass or has come to pass. Now, I said to the brethren today, one of the things that we have to remember, if we're going to understand the Bible or understand the book of Revelation or anything pertaining to godliness, one of the things, children of God, that we've got to understand is the time perspective as to what, where this is involved or what time this takes place. If I cannot tell that, there's no way that I can understand it. So I read this and I say, well, Lord, Where is this? I don't understand this. When is this going to take place? How can I know about it? Lord, I'm lost in my understanding. I don't understand. Whereas the Bible said, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh shall be opened unto him. Everyone that asketh receiveth. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, help me. So I hear the Lord say to me that this, I will show you the time that this is in. So he shows me. I go down to the 11th chapter and I read about two prophets. Here comes two prophets. The candlestick standing before the God of the earth. Two mighty prophets. I said, but God, I still don't understand. Now that I'm even more confused because I don't even know what time these prophets come on the scene. And he says, I will show you. So then he brings my mind all of a sudden to a certain thing, and I look at it. And I see here in the 11th chapter, it says in the third verse, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now I see something. 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. As we said the other day, I see that this coincides with where he uses the terms a times, time, and a half a time. And then he tells me that a time is 1 year. Times is 2 years then. And a half a time would be 6 months. So I said, that's 3.5 years, just as he said here. See, and 1,260 days. Then I said, wait a minute, these two prophets, where would this be? And then as I check it, I find out that it is within the first 3.5 years of the last week of Daniel, which is the last 7 years of the 490 years that the angel gave to Daniel, saying that Messiah will come and make an end of sin. So I see something. I see that if 483 years expired as to Calvary, and 7 years was left, and it was said by the angel, this is the time that is determined upon your people, not upon the Gentiles, but upon your people, Daniel, to make an end of sin. Because they were under the law and they were transgressors of the law, because Paul said you have the law and no one keeps it. So then they were sinners. And as to being sinners, this is why God could leave them and go out to the Gentiles and take him a bride from among the Gentiles, because the Jews was worse than the Gentiles. Though they sought after the things of the world, they had no knowledge of God. Therefore they were not sinners. Said, and this shall be upon your people to make an end of sin. And sure enough, Messiah come. 483 years, he made an end of sin. And then the separation as to the 7 years from the 490, put over here in the end of the world as to give a space between the seven, the 483, as to the days of the Gentiles. And then the 490 years was stopped, because it could not count the time upon the Gentiles, because it was said, and this is time upon your people. So then you have to wait till his people come back in that the Jews was cut off at Calvary. When they do come back in, then they pick up the 7 years. And you know that there ain't but 7 years then till the Messiah. That is, as to bringing in the millennium. Messiah comes before then. But as to ordaining him king. So we see then, now we're moving close to the 7 years. I brought it out the other night, calendar-wise. And I tried to point out calendar-wise how close it is according to the times and seasons. And you were able to see it, that it's right now on you. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I think maybe you're right. Or perhaps you do know. Or it could work out the way you see it. But it's for sure that you don't know. But see, that's where you're wrong. If you had faith in God and faith in the Scripture, you would know that I know. Because the Bible said, speaking of the children of light, that day shall not come upon you unaware. Ye shall know, he said, when it's nigh even at the door. So that proves that I do know what I'm talking about when I say these things. Because I'm a child of light, not a child of darkness. It's true that the world don't know, like scientists say, this thing about our solar system. They say it's millions of years away. But God tells me it's not. It's right at the door. So in talking about these things, I see then that this thing transpires in the middle of the week. See Revelation 8. In Revelation 8, let's look at it real close now. The first of Revelation, we see Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks. Then in the second chapter, right on down to the fourth chapter, we see the church ages as is spoken of. Then in the fifth chapter, we see the door open in heaven. We saw John, the door is open in heaven in fourth chapter. And the fifth chapter, John goes up before the throne and he sees the book with the seven seals. And then in the sixth chapter, they start opening the seals. The Lamb is opening the seals. The seals are open. Right on down, we spoke of the souls under the altar. We spoke of the heavens rolling back as a scroll. Then with this, all of a sudden we see that in the seventh chapter, the 144,000 is sealed, and the church goes out as to the great multitude. And then in the eighth chapter, we see these seven angels as they come to sound. So they sound through the eighth, ninth. They sound right on through the tenth. And then in the tenth chapter, we see this great angel coming down, putting one foot on the land, one on the sea, swearing that time would be no more. And the mystery of God is now to be finished. And when he comes down in the tenth chapter, there's a breach between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, or the second and the third woe. And what we've got to remember, as in the voice, or the days of the voice of this last angel, the seventh angel, that in the days of the voice, he's not just going to declare the things of God to finish the mystery of God. But what we've got to remember is that is a woe. There's been two woes already, three woes out of the seven soundings of the trumpet. The three last trumpets is three woes. Two of them now has sounded. And here another is to sound, which means that this last angel that sounds as to a trumpeter will also be one of the three woes. It'll be a great, mighty judgment that'll follow his ministry. So, in the days of the voice, we've said quite a lot about that. So I see here that in the eighth chapter, they start sounding. Going over to the tenth chapter, and then we've got a breach between the second, the third woe, the sixth, the seventh trumpet. And the angel during that time gives John a little book. John eats the little book. Then he said, you've got to prophesy to many nations and people. Now he said, seven thunders uttered the voices. And John was going to write it down. And he said, no, don't write it. Said the mystery will be finished in the days of the sounding of the voice. Well, that is to say, these trumpet soundings, as to the last one, as to the seventh one, this angel shall make known the mystery of the thunders. So then, down it comes. One trumpet, two trumpets, and one woe, two woes, and then the third woe. And then it comes. Now listen, in the days of the voice, it says already that this sixth trumpeter has sounded. Already it is saying that. But when he says it, he has not yet finished the second woe. Not yet. The trumpeter is not yet finished. If you'll read on down, you'll find that as it goes on down, two prophets come on the scene during the time of the sounding of the second woe, as to the sixth trumpet. And the two prophets come on the scene. Or that is, they are spoken of. We say, come on the scene. They come on the scene as to having to do with the first of the week. But here they are, still on this side, as we would say, as to the middle of the week. These prophets come forth. They're seen. They're recognized. So, within the cycle of the sounding of the second woe, these things are revealed to us in the Scripture. Then we see, not only that, but there is all of a sudden a great earthquake within the cycle of this trumpet. And the great city, it is smitten. If you'll notice, And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now that finished the sounding of the second woe as to the sixth trumpet. Now all of that was within that sounding. But it was said over here that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, and it said here, the third woe cometh quickly, which means the seventh angel, or the seventh trumpeteer. And all of a sudden it says in the 15th verse, and the seventh angel sounded. Now this is the days of the voice. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So then again we see something else that's unique about the seventh trumpeter. Not only is he finishing the mysteries, not only is he bringing to pass the last of the three woes, but now we understand that he's bringing in the new world. For in his sounding here, immediately the kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdoms of God. Now, I probably won't get to elaborate on that tonight, but there's only one way that can happen. I wish we could elaborate on it. But anyway, we see here that with the sounding, that means the finishing of the mysteries, as we said this morning. What is the finishing of the mysteries? What is a mystery? A revelation concealed. What is a revelation? A mystery revealed. So as to the unveiling, we see here that there is a revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The time is at hand. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. And all of a sudden there's a great battle. When this trumpeter sounds, there's a great battle. This battle is in heaven. A great battle. And the man-child goes up. And then the war in the heavens, like we talk about today, coming near us to a type star war. Now the great battle is beginning. And here in heaven there's war. And Lucifer is cast out. Because Michael, the great angel of war, he contested Satan's right as to this heavenly abode. And when Lucifer attacks the child, in that the woman is in the second heaven, that is to say the church, in the realms of the lion vanishes, and yet this blood on the seat of atonement to bring this to a day of heaven. See, the woman is heavy with child. Now she brings forth a child, and the red dragon goes after him. Now remember, you've got to understand, the only way that you can explain spiritual things is through your natural types. And as to work a formula, you have your formula. You get the answer from the formula. The red dragon going after the child, that's when we know that something is happening. I'm speaking spiritually now, because this has to come to pass in the middle of Daniel's last week as to the natural application, as to the Jew. Jesus to the Jew, Christ to the churches of the spiritual Jew. Christ to the inner you, Jesus to the outer them. That is to say, born again experience with you, redemption of the body to them, adoption by law. So then when we see this, we see that Lucifer has left off with the world. See, he's left off with the world. He's not satisfied just having the world mixed up in making money and prestige and position and ball games and the love of the world and the lust of the flesh and all those things as to the frolics of the world. See, so he goes after the church and he gets the church. If he can't get the church, he Jim Jones it. He kills it. Everyone that he can get out of the church as to a denominational power that will incorporate the world in the church, then that is that old blood life from Adam, as in Adam all die. That's that old satanic blood life as to the red dragon. Jesus said a generation of vipers. And that intellectual mind is going after the church now. Satan has learned the way to overthrow the church is to entice them. The Bible said in the last days, there would be a great enticing, a great falling away. The hour of temptation. The things of the world would be magnified. The old Jezebel would show herself. So then, enticing, drawing away. And they're reaching for the child. So they get somebody into their system. And they say, this one comes from this church, and this one comes from this church, and this one comes from that church. And Satan says, now we've got him. Now we've got them. But see, they didn't get them. All they got was the reflector. That's all. See, Satan's wrapping his tail around the third part of the star, speaking of the second dimension, running to the second power, as in school now. And he's getting those reflectors. They're coming from that church. But they're not the true stars. They're not the true child. The child is moving right on into that realm, coming up in that third mind of Christ. Coming right on up in it. I wish we had time to explain his minds again. Coming right up into it is his tail. When you say tail, that is as his, gets his start in the beginning of the world and over here in the end of the world. You know this is the end of him, so this is the tail part. So his work is as to the tail part. And he's wrapping his tail around the third part of the stars, which is shown symbolically by Calvary when Jesus came in the image of sin to make an end of death and sin. And being in the image of the fallen ones, or that is to say the image of Lucifer. Because you that are the fallen ones, you are the image of Lucifer. Even as we that love God are the image of God. I expressed that in the message this morning, so I won't go into that. So then, we see the bloodline. Now, this is where the battle comes in. Michael hasn't done anything. Though Michael is a great warrior, God hasn't commissioned him to battle. He's let Lucifer go on with the world. Michael doesn't disturb him. But see, now Lucifer is an aggressor. He is transgressing. He's on private property. He's moved off of his now, and he's coming over to your property. See, when he moves in there, then he's reaching for your subjects. These are not his subjects. See, he goes over, he says, I want the body of Moses. Michael said, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan. You won't get this body. It don't belong to you. See, he said, I'm the prince of this world. I'm the God of the universe. I'm the God of this world. I'm the ruler over the principalities of this world. See, and I am the prince of the powers of the air as to the atomic particles of which you're composed, as of the dust. I want this body. It belongs to me. But see, Moses had been up there so long, it transcended that, like Elijah, like Enoch. See, and he got beyond that. He got into the mind of God so much, he got beyond that, that the body now belonged to God. He was born the proper child to begin with. See, so Satan is warring, and the war is over your body. He's after your body because the body's yet unredeemed as to the change. And yet the redemption is already paid for it at Calvary. Soon you're going to whip the redemption to know that it's already redeemed. So then, this is the time when Michael goes to battle. When he reaches for the children of God, then Michael raises up his sword, and he's ready to fight them. Because he's an aggressor. And he's coming over into what belongs to God. And then Michael is enraged as to his strength and as to anger toward Lucifer to fight with him until he is no more of the spiritual realms. And here's two angels coming together. You're talking about a battle. Two men, you know, great big men. They're changing blows and exchanging blows. And one hits and the blood flies and the teeth is knocked out. You know, and another kicks, and I've seen him do that. See, and another big fella, he comes back at him and he whops him. And sometimes they break each other's neck, they kill each other. Even in the ring, they've done it. But now here's two angels that's greater in power and might. And this one is angry as to being stirred up, and this one's angry as to being stirred up. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. The Bible said Jesus was angry because of the hardness of the heart. And here God is angry. And here comes this mighty angel. He's sweeping down through the heavens, and he's got numbers of angels is following him, and he comes sweeping down through there, and you're talking about a battle. I'd love to see that. But here comes Lucifer, and he's a mighty god, you know, as to a fallen angel, and here comes them powerful angels with him. And then they lock up as in the days of Daniel, and they begin to fight one with another. My, what a fight. So then, this is where we're at. So the world becomes aggressive. They want to take over the church. The blood life, Satan and the blood life, the old red dragon, he's going to ruin the church. He's going to corrupt the church. He's going to change the things of the church. IRS is going to put you under the number. And they're going to change everything around. They're going to know you by numbers. They're to their computer. And they're moving down on every person. Whereas if they'd stayed with their own, that'd have been all right as for the time. See, but they're not doing that. Now they're doing it of Christians. When they come and said, we want our taxes, Jesus said, don't offend them. Go down there and get the money and pay them. But someday, all of this will be brought into high court. In the Supreme Court, because Jesus asked the question, is this of their children that they take tribute, or this of strangers? And Peter said, strangers. Strangers. He said, then are the children free. But we'll go ahead and do it anyway. Now, I had a vision last night. And in this vision, I saw as it was a multitude of people. And it looked like they were all dressed in black. I was caught within the radius of this confine. And it looked like that they all were in dark clothing, but it was because we were in a dark place as to one thing. Because later, I saw the color of my clothes was normal. But we all was caught there. Looked like hundreds of people. While we were caught there, there's a woman like sitting over here at the door, a couple of women, and it seemed like they had to do with the authority as to holding us. But one of them got afraid when all of a sudden half of the people, just like they went down into a pit in the hell somewhere. And the rest of the people were really shook up, including myself. And then this woman, she got up and out she went like that. And she said a certain word as she passed by, and she made it out. So when I saw her go out, I thought, my, I better get out of here too if I can. And I'll say that same word. I went out and said the same word and got out, which it seemed like an impossibility for us to get out. Nobody else could get out. I went around to the side, and I found like at the bottom of this wall, the wall didn't set solid on the foundation, and there was something in between. I tore it out. And I loosed these people, and I freed these people, and I turned all these people loose. And I thought they got out there and began to intermingle with the world and in society, finding a place. But the law came down after them. And when the law came down after them, I saw, as it was in the vision, that there was no possible way for these people to escape. For the law was so thorough that it had a number system. And every one of these people, through the power of this law and this legislated system, they could find anybody at any time. It didn't make any difference who it was. And they had these people's number. And they just find them just like that, among thousands of people. And then with this, the vision went away. I am completely convinced that you've already went under the number system. Anybody can tell that. Your tag is numbered. They know you from another car. You're numbered in society as to a social security number. They know you by that. And we had made the statement years ago, someday all of it would go under the social security number. Won't be a bunch of numbers. These people had one number as to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it was. So that is to say a line of numbers. Now, if this system goes under Antichrist, which is headed for now, already the world is under a numerical order system. And now it's moving toward the headship of that as to the man whose number is 666. It's moving in under the control. And in this vision, these people did not have a number 666, but they had a number that went back to the system. And see, the number system is already in effect. But we are not affected by it in that we are not under the number 666. But it won't be long before the Superman will be moving in with the 666. And he'll take control of all the numerical system that's through the computerized control. And then that's death for you. If you go with the number system after that, then that means that there's death for you. But see, to us, there's not going to be a time like that, even though we're already under the number system, and they can find us in any way they want to. But before the Superman comes on the scene to consolidate his kingdom, we're going to be translated and go out of here. And then comes the Superman with his 666 to usurp authority over the people, that none will escape except those that, as to an ordination of Almighty God. So, I said all of that to say this. See, everything is at an end. I could go on for hours in the revelation of the Son of God. But everything is at an end. Everything is at an end. Calendar-wise, it's at an end. Revelational-wise, it's at an end. It is at an end. I say again, as I did this morning, someone would say, well, I don't believe the end of the world has come yet, Brother Paul. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. Because Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And this morning, I didn't have time to go into it, neither do I have time to go into it tonight. But as to the three forms, as to the three blood lives, as to a form of life, or we use it as a lifeline, that is to that which has to do with life, or we say the blood of life. I mentioned something this morning about it. And as to the water life with Noah, it went away. I just wish we had time to go into each one of them individually. And then come Calvary. And now we're at the second power. It went away. Now we're going to the third power as to the diminishing again of the world. Now here's what I want you to think of. In every age, somebody declared it. In every age, God used a man. In the days of Noah, God said, Noah, X amount of days, and then this will be the end. Noah said, thus saith the Lord, the end. In the days of Peter, Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Because it was at an end. Noah could see it. Peter could see it. Now then here we are today. I'm but a mere man. But I say, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. The world is now at an end. See, I say as a man, oh, you can't do that, Brother Pike, but I've already done it. See, so then the Bible said it's not you speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking from within you. And all of them shall be taught of God. Let all the world keep silent, for God is within his temple. I've already seen it. I've done seen the ends of the world. So then here we are in the end of the world. As to the third step of this third power or dimension, we're going into it now. And now the people of the celestial, see, they're moving in. You see it in your type. Scientists is now probing with the celestial. They done probe with that under the sea, or that is in the heart of the earth, as to the ground, and now they probe with that in the world, and now the third dimension, and they're probing with that up yonder. Started with a farmer dropping a little seed in the ground, bringing forth the harvest. And then it got into this other side of life as to the life of mechanics. And now it's gone into the world of electronics as to the light, as to electrons. See, now they've moved into the third dimension. So that means that we're now in the heavenlies. If they're out there in a type, then that means that the church is out there in the spirit. Because there's nothing that can happen in the earth without something happening in heaven. As in heaven, so in the earth. So if this thing is happening in the spirit, then the manifestation as for us to see it is in the earth. So here we are. See, and now we're out there, as they call it, in the celestial. And here is the little Magellan spinning around Venus. A lot we could say about that. Not a lot. Maybe one night we'll just take a subject on that. See, spinning around Venus. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, we're still grounded. We're still gravitationally bound here. I don't see any of these folks out there in the celestial. But that's because you're beholding lying vanities. Your eyes are beholding. You can't see. See, because I'm not in the earth. I'm not in the flesh. I'm not in the world. Though I own the world and all therein. Paul said, the world is yours. I own every bit of it. Because I own all things. All things are mine through Christ. I own life. I said this morning, I own death. I own life, I own death, I own the world, I own all things. See, but I am in heaven. For the Bible said, you're not in the flesh, the body's dead, at death the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. God has chosen us out of this world, hid us with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. We are thus in heaven. Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven, he came down from heaven, he went back to heaven, he's in heaven. All of this Jesus in the presence of God. And of course we had time to go for about 2 hours on that. I could explain it. But I hit it lightly this morning as comparing it with the child to give you some understanding. It's on the tape that's called, whatever he called it, Another World or something. Changing Worlds. Is that what you call it, Changing Worlds? So we are changing worlds. When Jesus came, they changed worlds. That was a changing of worlds as to the second power. Now then, we're changing worlds again. This is as to the third power. Someone said, well, I don't know about all this, Brother Pye. This blows my mind. I don't understand this. But they that are the elect of God do understand this. And they will understand this. And they will receive this. But a man can't receive anything save it be given him of God. You can't hold on with the world and hold on to this and receive it. You're not going to get it. You're just going to get confused. Like a vision that Brother David Paul had about somebody sitting here tonight. Said he got so confused, he screamed out as to lose his mind. Same man I was thinking about yesterday. Said he didn't know what to do. He hadn't lost his mind as to an insanity. Lost his mind as to constraint. And I know for sure that the man is going one way, trying to be of prestige in the world, going another way and trying to get a hold of this as to God. And finally got the best of him. And yesterday God showed it to me almost identically to what David Paul had as to a vision last night. But see, you can't do that. You can't play around with those things. You got to get either on one side or another. You got to die out to the world. You got to die out to God's world. You got to be spiritual or you got to be natural. Trying to go in between, God will spew you out of his mouth. You'll just blow up. You'll just blow up. So then, the ones that's for that world is going to get it. They're going to understand. And folks, you ain't going to get this in 20 minutes. And you ain't going to get this in 45 minutes. This is not going to be given to you in 45 minutes. That's why that I talk to brethren. Sometimes I talk to brethren over in the morning, not much now as I did before. As 2 years I've done this. Because it takes many hours of indoctrination to open your eyes just a little bit as to come into this. Scientist doesn't break into the atomic world as the celestial world within a few hours or a few days or even a few weeks or a few months. It takes many years of research as to men of Einstein, of great brilliance, and other men of great understanding, constantly, day and night, staying to this. And Paul, after all the many years of learning, had to go away for over 3 years in a consecutive thing to stay right before God out there, as we would say, in the desert somewhere, to get the understanding of this revelational thing of God. So it's going to take some time. Children don't go to school 2 days or 3 years and come out with a diplomacy. They go many years, stay many days, and they grow up physically as they do mentally as to their educational side of it. See, it takes something to become the bride of Jesus Christ. It takes a devotion. It takes a virginity. It takes staying away from the world. It takes coming in close. It takes going on to a full reward. See, to become this bride of Christ. Some of you are just children. Some of you will never be anything but children. But there's a few of you that's growing up as parents to lay up for the children. And you're coming into the real things of God. See, but the Bible says that the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses as to be able to discern between good and evil. Study to show yourself approved, a workman under God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Oh, folks, what I'm saying to you is but just a little childish exhorting. Just a little childish exhorting. And even with that, with all of our efforts, as the patience to be nice, to listen, not to offend, we still are like little babies that must be dismissed to go. But when we come to where they were in the early church, where they gathered and said, Paul, will you preach to us? And when the daylight came in the morning, Paul went to get him some sleep, and they were saying, praise God, Paul, we appreciate you staying here teaching us all night. See, as when they broke bread from house to house with singleness of heart, when they sold all they had, laid it down the apostles' feet, had no time for the world, wasn't trying to excel in the world, didn't try to mix light with darkness, but just got in. You know, that's why the Bible said the common people heard Jesus gladly. It's hard for people that's got roots in the world. Or Jesus said, as to the rich young ruler, this man was a religious man. Kept all of his commandments from the youth up as to what he said. Truthfully, he did not, because he broke it, and that he did not love his neighbor as himself. But nevertheless, he said he did. Very religious. And Jesus even loved him. The Bible said Jesus looked at him and loved him. He would have loved for him to have been one of his following. But when he looked at him, he said, yet likest thou one thing, sell all you have, give to God, take up your cross. And of course, if you come down the common walk of life, you're going to have a cross. But otherwise, he said, the rich have their consolation. See, the common people, those that are in the world, that's taken roots in the world, it's hard for them to turn loose. How hardly shall they have, they that have riches, enter into the kingdom of God? How hardly shall they do that? For when the rich man heard this, to sell all of his goods, the Bible said he turned away sorrowfully, for he had many possessions. He went away, he did not follow Christ, though he were ever so religious. But the common people, because they had nothing to lose anyway, they didn't have anything. So they wholeheartedly went after Jesus, and what few pennies they did as the woman with the two mites cast in all of her living. The others gave, but the Bible said it didn't amount to anything. She gave more than all of them. So it's not in the abundance. It's not in the things that you give. So God is after you. God is wanting to change you. God is wanting to redeem you from the red dragon. Take you into the third heaven. See, he's wanting to make war against the blood life of intellectual learning, which is called gross darkness, covering the people in the end time. Paul turned them from darkness to light, bringing into the world of light and revelation. He's wanting to do that, but he has to have your attention. He has to have the time. Seeing we're but children. We're but children. We haven't learned yet. We haven't come to it yet. We just haven't done it. That's all. Today, notice this morning, 2.5 hours I ministered. I didn't intend to minister for about 30 or 40 minutes. Maybe a little longer. But even then, that was a little bit strenuous for you. Though you're very nice, very courteous, but I could tell you'd run clear out. As to endurement, as to concern, as to feeding, and yet you tried hard. Seeing out of all of that 2.5 hours, even some of you at the very best that would have got the most, probably just got a little bit compared to what I said. That's why I put it on tape, so that you can go back and play it, go back and listen at it, go back and try to understand it. And if there's something that you don't understand, you can go back and check it out. See to be clear in it as a textbook. And that's why sometimes I have to take a little time to do the things I do, because it goes on tape. And they have to get on tape. Like tonight, we've hardly said anything, and it's time to dismiss. Hardly said anything. Didn't have no special singing, didn't have nothing. Hardly anything. And yet it's about time to dismiss. Whereas some of you are just now engrossed. See, some of you just now got into the mind of it. And some of you just love to hear some more. Had to get into the deep mysteries of God and go into these things to understand. Because see, I left off over here in chapter 10. I've not yet as even brought in the time perspectives, as to show you what I want to say here about the time perspectives as to the natural part of it. To lay a foundation as a launching pad to get into the mind of Christ. That is to say, into the heavenlies. But anyway, let me say this in closing. As we see it as to the natural, it is within the radius of the 3.5 years. So then we know where those angels are sounding. We know the time of life that it is. And we know that all of these things we hear here about somebody as to the 7th angel and sounding, we know that it's to the natural, that that's nothing. It could not be. There's no possible way. Like someone would said, Brother Branham was the last angel to sound, the 7th angel. That could not have been possible as to the natural application. Because this doesn't even happen till the middle of the week, which is in the tribulation period. Brother Branham's dead and gone already. See, somebody says, well, he's the angel of Revelation 10. I'm not trying to tear your doctrine down. I'm just telling you that we jump the gun. We're still children. We get all kinds of ideas. Somebody said he's Revelation 10. But how could that be? Because Revelation 10 here is still within the radius of the second woe of the 6th trumpet. In the middle of the week of the tribulation period. You understand what I'm saying? And another thing, the sounding of the last trumpet, as to the last messenger, it will bring the end of the world. It will be the end of the world. You understand what I'm saying? And immediately when he sounded, somebody said, well, it might send over here in 16 years later, 20 years later. No, it didn't say that. It said the second woe is past and the third woe cometh quickly. And then the voice sounded, and the Bible said immediately a voice cried out, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And immediately there was war in heaven, and Michael began to war, and the devil went out. Well, we can't elaborate on it. So then we know that this is in the middle of the week. And maybe some night we can get together again. We can say some more things as to point out where these other things are. If we find the time perspective in them, then we know for sure what's going on, and we know how it's going on. And what we've got to come to understand is there is a spiritual perspective, even of the 7 years, the last week, just as there is of the 483 years. But it's up to us to understand. Let's stand together. Let's sing a little chorus together. I appreciate you being here tonight. Not going to hold you like I did this morning. I purpose in my heart. But even though many of you are listening real good, but I'm just not going to hold you tonight as I did this morning. Can we sing a love him? Tell you something, children of God. You're missing an excitement like you could never imagine. Never. Somebody says, we're here, we're in on it, we're getting it, we're in this excitement. And I know you are. I know you are. Because I don't mean this belittling, I'm trying to make it realistic. If Daddy went out and told Junior, said, Junior, son, you just ain't getting it. Boy, you don't know what this is all about. He said, let me show you, Daddy. And he'd do a few little, Daddy, whatever he does on his tricycle. Said, look, Daddy. Look, Daddy, like my little David Paul, you know. He'll tell his daddy, little Joe, he'll tell his daddy, look, Daddy. Look, Daddy. You know, and he'll come and say to me the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? As far as they're concerned, they're getting it. Boy, this is exciting. Watch me go over that hill. I can do it, boy. You know. That's wonderful. Great. No reason to try to disillusion you. Don't want to take the little bike away from you. Have a good time. But folks, let me tell you, we're heading for someplace. And the second grade and the third grade and the fourth grade and the fifth grade, and when you get out of school, it's still college. So you've got to go on. And we've got to get into those realms. You've got to grow up. The Bible said as a child, you're Lord of all. You've already got it. It belongs to you. I'm not trying to tell you that it don't. But you differ nothing from a servant because you're under tutors until the time appointed of the Father, even as unto the bar mitzvah. And as long as you're out there with the world, you're part of the children of the world. But when you come in, Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. You know, I don't go around trying to ride a tricycle. Wouldn't I look silly trying to ride a tricycle? I saw a little fat-bellied boy go down the road yesterday. He was so fat-bellied, his shirt was up here, and he was just a budging out. He was on a little bitty tiny bike, little thing, and he looked so funny. You know, and that's the way we are. You know, that's the way we are. Somebody says, Mommy, I'm going to buy something for Junior. And Junior's sitting in the corner crying, Daddy, when are you going to let me play with it? You know, because Daddy can't leave it alone. Daddy can't stay away from it. Daddy didn't buy it for Junior to start with. So this is where the world is, and as the saying is, what's the difference between men and boys? Only the size of their toys. So let's sing this little chorus together. Let's think over the things that we're saying. Let's grow up, folks. Let's get out of our childhood. Some of you, it's time to put away childish things. You know, you start bouncing that little ball as the basketball when you're a little boy, and that's all right. As long as you don't get out there naked, that ain't all right. God clothed them. 20th chapter of Leviticus, I believe it is. If you'll read it, he'll let you know what he thinks about naked folks. But anyway, you're bouncing your ball, you're batting your ball, you're playing with your ball. But you know, when I look at some of you, I say it like this as to bring reality. Junior, do you know you're 25 years old now? And you need to leave that to somebody else. Quit running around the court in shorts, basketball, and everybody hollering like a bunch of idiots. Pardon my expression. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, did you call them folks idiots? I never called them one of them idiots. I said hollering like a bunch of idiots. So if you can figure out what a bunch of idiots are, then you know that's the way they're hollering. So then we can see that we don't need to be taking Junior's games away from him and doing the things that Junior done. We need to grow up. And now that I'm a man, put away Junior's toys and those things. And let's be a man. And let's take responsibility. And let's do what God's called us to do. And let's be about our Father's business. This is what we need to do, folks. Somebody said, well, I don't mess with them ball games. There's no way you could. You're too busy trying to make money. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. Let's sing together. Can we sing together? We're going to sing this little chorus together. Jesus, use me. I want to be used of God. And I said the other night, it's not just making ourselves available. That's one of the musts. You must do that. But we must prepare ourselves. If you're coming out of school or going to school or whatever you're going to do, if you're going to be something in life, you've got to prepare yourself. You've got to be a fit subject for that. Training. Let's sing this together. Give me another key. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Can you sing it again? So Jesus, oh, you use me. And dear Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll... Can you sing one more time with me? If you really want him to use me. Jesus, won't you use me? And oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. For Jesus, won't you use me? And oh Lord, oh, surely there is a work that we can do. And even though it's humble, oh, my will to to crumble. Far below the cross be great hour for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. For there is room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. For there's room at the cross for you. For at the cross, when I first saw the love and the burden of my heart, I received my sight. Now I'm happy all day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was then by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Let's sing this little chorus. Give me a key frame. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves, bring in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, and we will come rejoicing. Sing that with me, can you? We're bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheaves. For we're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, folks, you got more joy down there than that. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I can feel the joy when you say it like that. So we're bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. Don't you feel that joy way down inside of you? Joy like a river, serving God is joy. Oh, we're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing one more time. Oh, we're bringing, can you give him a wave offering? Bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing one more time as a wave off. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheaves all around the world now. All the world. Come rejoicing. One more time. All around the world now. Bringing in the sheaves. Going into all the world with the gospel. Come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing. Can you just one more time? We're bringing in God's sheaves. Bringing in God's sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in God's sheaves. Somebody say hallelujah. Just think, God's going to be looking and here we're going to be coming. We're going to have an armful of sheaves, and God's going to see us. We're bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. And we will come rejoicing. We're bringing. Sing it one more time. Bringing in the sheaves. Think now, God's watching us. God's watching us. His eyes are throughout the earth. Watching us now. He knows we're bringing them in. Go out, compel them to come in. All around the world. He's watching us. He sees us in our labor. So we're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. I shall come rejoicing and bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. That's where I get my joy. Bringing in the sheaves. Let's give him a hand. Can you give him a hand? Hallelujah. With fervency, praying to God. With fervency, serve the Lord. For the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when you serve God with fervency, God is watching on the other end. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I can feel faith in your heart, folks. I can feel faith in your heart. Like we got that report of that cancer healing up in that great big hole, 4 inches in diameter, and they asked for your prayers. And because you was concerned, and gone down and called in the people. No hope for her. And then she gets on the phone and says, brother, they're sending me home. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. That's because you worship God with fervency. See, you're not playing. I mean, you're really getting down to business worshiping God. And your prayers, these signs will follow them to believe. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Like a little note that Sister Betty sent up here, I read it to you this morning. A little boy, 8 years old, I believe it is, recovered from this terrible, hideous, horrible thing, whatever it was, and with no after effects. And as the little note said the doctor and the parents know positively that it's a miracle. That was after prayer. Let's give a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. Fervency spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing another course or two, and then we're going to go on dismissing. God is so good. He's so very good. Across the bread. There's no more sorrow, and across the bridge there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Can you sing that with me? Some of you are unhappy. It's the cross, the bridge. Can you come over on this side? There's no more sorrow, and across the bridge there ain't no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. For in this life we're living in, I have lived the life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior on the way, ask him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love that's true. Sing it with me now. He, the bridge, there's no more sorrow, and across the bridge there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine out across the river, and we'll never be. Can you sing it with me again? Set across the bridge there ain't no sorrow. Set across the bridge there ain't no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be hungry. One more time, we'll sing. And across the bridge there ain't no more sorrow. He said across the bridge there ain't no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine out across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Just one more time. He said across the bridge there ain't no more sorrow. He said across the bridge there ain't no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine out across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and over land, and time shall be no more. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land and time. Can you sing it? Raise your hands to heaven. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and land and time. One more time together now. For time shall be no more, no more, and time. Remember now, the law of the prophets and the Calvary, since that time the kingdom has been preached. The Bible said in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son to gather all things in heaven and earth into his Son. That is to bring the end of time, the time. Aren't you glad that you're not time preachers? For time shall be no more, no more, and time. See, we're moving out of the time cycle now. You're recognizing that you're eternal creatures. Now, as you begin to think that you're eternal creatures, the Bible said, as a man thinketh within his heart, so he is. I'm giving you an intellectual indoctrination within the understanding. But she's going to move down in the heart to faith now. With the heart man believeth, and time shall be no more. No, no. See, it's going to move down from the head into the heart. And as you think, so are you. If you really begin to believe it. Not as you think in your head, but as you think in your heart. As you begin to think it, as you begin to think that you are eternal, time begins to dissipate, and you move out of that world to the eternal world. Oh, time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them to believe. Somebody says, I've been believing. You've been trying to believe. In your head, you've been indoctrinated. You're trying to believe with your head. But the Bible said, with the heart, man believeth. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Think about it now. Think about it now. As you think in your heart, so you are. That's why I chuckle on the inside. Sometimes I just chuckle on the inside. And I just cry. My spirit sighs. Because deep down inside, I believe I'm in heaven. And time shall be no more, no more, and time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the land, time shall be no more. Coming down to the finishing of the mysteries now. And time, fullest of time. The fullest of time, the Son came. It was in the fullest of the time that the Son came. When the time was just right, God sent Moses, born as a proper child, to deliver his people, because it was time. It was time. And the sun came. One more time. And time for me is no more. I'm eternal now. And time for me no more. For the angel did stand on the sea and the land. Then time. See now, speaking spiritually now, as the Christ coming to you. And time. See, the Christ has come to you. What did he do? The Bible said he hath translated me into the marvelous kingdom of my God. And he hath hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. The Bible said, for God hath chosen me out of this world. So that I'm chosen out of this world. Where then am I? Where then am I? Jesus said, who am I? Someone would say, well, all you have to do is look in the mirror and you know who you are. That's true if you look into the mirror of heaven. Who are you? Who are you? You're sons and daughters of God. Who are you? You're God's sons and daughters of God. Somebody would say, well, if that was true, I couldn't die. You can't die. Sons and daughters of God can't die. What is it to say a son of God died? How could he be a son of God and die? And besides that, as I preach this morning, death belongs to you. What are you doing letting death mess around with you like that? Though children, one day you won't be children. Lord of all, but you don't differ nothing from a child, and you can get to believe. You can't believe till you hear. For faith cometh by the hearing, and that is the word. And you can't get the word till it's preached to you. He that God sendeth will speak God's word to you. Canst thou believe? Jesus said, if thou canst believe. Maybe one night we'll get to preach concerning death. Death. Horrors of death and the mastery of God over death. Over death. Somebody would say, well, I just don't get it. You don't, but somebody does. Somebody does. Few there be that find it. Like somebody was saying to me today, when we said a little something about it, they said, my. I said, there's going to be mighty few that'll find that. I said, that's right. Little flock, few there be that find it. Millions of people in the world. Few that will come to the mind of Christ. So then, tonight is coming to a close. Who are you? What are you doing? What are you doing? James and John, who are you? The sons of thunder. The sons of thunder. Can you command Arcturus and his sons? Can you bind Leviathan, the piercing serpent? Do you know where to find his double bridle and put it on him? And make him perform for your maidens? Jesus can. When you're a son of God, you can. Sure. You say double bridle? Yeah, he's double-minded. Let's give the Lord a hand. Takes a double bridle for him. He's a two-headed freak. Let's sing another chorus and we're going to let you. Can we? And this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. Sing with me. We're shouting of it. Glory, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Victory. I crossed over Jordan. Getting over the carnal mind now. Getting into Canaan land, the mind of Christ. I'm eating of those wonderful new fruits. I'm shouting the victory. I'm shouting the victory. Jesus said, you be of good courage now. I've overcome the world. To Cain's land. And this is like heaven. One more time. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Just one more time. I'm shouting God's victory. I'm shouting God's victory. From across the Jordan to Canaan. Have you got over that old human reasoning? Have you got over your human reasoning? Let's get over the Jordan. Let's get over the human reasoning. That gross darkness of human reasoning is beginning to cover the people. Let's get over it. Let's get into the mind of Christ. Let's get hungry for the things of God. Let's be spiritually minded. Let's put every thought out. Everything into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, to meditate in His laws day and night. So that we just keep on developing. Keep on growing. Somebody would say, well, what am I going to do about my business? What am I going to do about my career? Brother Pike, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Forget about it. Somebody, let's sit the Lord. It's a lot of problem anyway. Just a big hassle anyway. After you get it all done, they're going to throw you in a hole anyway. Why bother with it? To leave all of that to somebody else. See why I do that? Let's be about the Father's business. Somebody says, what am I going to eat, Brother Pike? Well, if Jesus was here tonight, this is what He would say to you. Children, take no thought for tomorrow. Would you listen to that if He said that? I'd say, children, take no thought for tomorrow. Somebody says, I don't know, my husband's going to go to work tomorrow if I got anything to do with it. Like a woman said, there's going to be some grubs on my table. So, He would say, children, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself, for the evil is sufficient unto the day thereof. And He said, take no thought as to saying, what shall we eat or what shall we wear? Or whither shall we be clothed? Look upon the field. See the little lily. And the Bible says that Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of the little lilies. Even his radiance was as not the radiance of the lily. The little sparrows, God said, I feed them. Are ye not much more valiant to me than those sparrows that I feed? He would say. He said, can you add one cubit to your height? No. Can you make one hair black and a white? No. Somebody said, well, I found out how I can put doubt. He said, if you can't do those things that are little and small, why take thought for the rest? Didn't God make you? Didn't God put them in the wilderness? Didn't God feed them? Didn't God take care of them? Clothes never waxed old. They never went hungry. Why are you of little faith, Jesus said. So little faith. It's because we've depended so long on the things of the world, and we've looked so long toward our own strength, our own ability, as to what we can do, as to how we can handle it, and in a state and a mind of unbelief. We've done it so long. See, we need to start depending on Him. Don't think about your job, and don't think about your business, and don't think about your income. Don't think about your career. If you're a child of God, your career is already taken care of. It's eternal in the heavens. Your mansion is there. If this temple be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens. Not made by the hands. having borne the image of the earthly, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. As to the celestial, as you think in your heart, so you are. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do the right kind of thinking. Think right. If you've been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Acknowledge that garment that you have. As to the garment that's for the wedding that's been tried in the fire. Even as Jesus that went down through the flames. So then, to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. To love our neighbor as ourselves. And to take no thought for anything but to meditate in His laws day and night, that He might feed us and take care of us. That's the way I live. That's the way I pay my bills. I don't look to the church. I don't look to you. I don't look to the brotherhood. I don't look to the men's meeting. I don't look to anybody in the world, so help me God. Not anybody. Even though people, some have promised me large sums of money, I don't look to that. I pray and I say, Lord, that's fine. If they give it, good. But I say I have no confidence in that as to look to that as to the flesh. If it be the act of God, it'll be. Otherwise, I'm looking to God. And God always, always supplies my need. In some unique way. In some way. Some way. I was telling somebody the other day that God worked out a way for them to help. I said, isn't that something that you don't have to give nothing? I mean, you don't give a dollar. Not a dollar. And yet you're able to help. Isn't that something? And the person said, well, I think it's glorious. And God does that. See, that's so wonderful. Is that the truth? You couldn't say because you don't know who I'm speaking about. But it's true. So then tonight we stand here before God. You know, we don't have to sing every few minutes to stand here before God. Somebody said, sing, amen, it's over, let us go. I'm not put together like that. If you are, you don't have to go. You know, I ain't made like that. I like to move as God says move. They said, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? You didn't preach, we didn't sing, it's time to go. No, we could sit down for an hour and just meditate. Sometimes over in the morning, I'm just sitting in the middle of the floor. I might have a pillow in my arms, but I'm just waiting to listen at it and meditate. I might be there for 2 hours, 3 hours. I don't know. Maybe all night long. Because I'm talking to Him and listening to Him. Here, He don't talk to you very much as to anything at altar call. Because we sing, we get all stirred up, and then we stop. Nothing's happening. What's going on? What is He waiting on? When is it going to happen? When is He going to say amen? See, but that's where you're so mixed up and so wrong. It's time to be still and know that I'm God. And if we would be still and learn to wait and get our mind off of who we are and what we are and what we think. And that's what we think about the preaching, what we think about the service, and what we think about what's going on. And not under condemnation of all the evil things that we've done all day long. See? And do like little Missy, that's trying her best for me to notice her. And I am noticing her. She don't know it, but I'm noticing. I watched her. I watched her down there. I watched her when she come up here. I watched her get a little closer. I watched her get a little closer. I watched her when she come over here. See, God's got His eyes on us. But a lot of times He wants to say something to you. I don't bother with you. I just let you go home. But many times He wants to say something to you. He could tell you something that would be a consolation to you as an individual. He could tell you something that would get you out of that rut of the wrong that you're doing. He could tell you something that would help you. But you're so carnal-minded that when the inspiration stops, as to the singing, that's it. But see, God hasn't gone home and gone to sleep. So God's gone. No, He'll be here all night. How many know He'll be here all night? He'll be, this is His house. He'll be here. When I go to my house down there, it's to the natural, I'll be there all night. Unless He tells me different. So then we're not going to try to tell you anything tonight, but I'm just telling you, you're making a great mistake. Because a lot of times people come in here. As to a woman to my right, this woman came in here a while back, and she needed a word from God so bad because her nerves was about to break down on her. And we prayed for her, and we gave her a word from God. Not as in your presence, as at the altar call, but we worked it around the world we could. Tonight, she's happy. She's recovered. She's
She's gone on with the Lord. Then she thought she couldn't make it any further.
See, we need to go with God. But I'm not going to bother you. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm not even going to try to tell you anything. I'm not going to bother with telling you anything. So we're going to let you go. I'm saying this is to those that want to go. Because I know many of you don't want to go. You don't want to go. You want to get with God. It's proven because wherever I go, you follow me like little sheep. All right, let's lift those hands up together. I love you because you're the sheep of my pastor. And of course, one day, the chief shepherd's coming. Let's pray. Precious, wonderful Father of heaven, bless little Missy. And watch over her every day of her life. Dear God, she seems to think so clearly as to altar call, as to your wonderful presence. And dear God, I pray that this darling little baby, Father, that you'll watch over it and do something for it. And dear God, as it grows, let it grow up to be precious, pure, like Mary of old did. That should Jesus tarry, Lord, there would be great things that would happen to this little life. And her heart would be holy and her mind would be holy. And her words would be holy as to words that would give consolation to break the powers of evil off of those that are around her, just through her wonderful words, Lord, of salutation, or of blessing, as to conversation, dear God, as to communicating one with another. May there be a great blessing upon little Missy. Her little heart be filled that she might remember you in the days of her youth. I ask you to do this, and not only that, Father, but there's others that are here. And these people need a blessing. They need help. They need strength. And God, some of them, their eyes are coming open. And help them to see how dull, how dreadful, how depressing their world is because of their thinking, oh God. And Lord, because they live in the world and under condemnation. For there is no condemnation to them that are in you, Lord. So let them get out from under the condemnation to have joy. This joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, that's shed abroad in our hearts by the mighty Holy Ghost. Lord, through the unfeigned Word of God. Tonight, the children that you do have here, as on the campground, and those that's coming in and out that may not live on the campground, or those that might hear these tapes around the world, as to the voice, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them and help them and strengthen them and everywhere in the world today, that there is a true child of God. May he hear the voice today. Lord, that we may come closer to you and that we may follow you, Lord God of heaven, and do your will. And Lord, that we may be within the confines of your glory as to the safety that wonderful radius of God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Let's sing one more chorus. And he was here all the time. And he was here all the time. Waiting patiently in line, Jesus was here. Oh, can you sing it? Jesus was here. My Savior was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all waiting for you to do everything that you was going to do, waiting for you to try this and to try that and to try all kind of things. And then when you simmer down, from doing your own thing in your worldly ambition. Then you say, well, I think I'll try Jesus. He's still standing there waiting. For he was there all the time. Jesus was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. For he was there all the time. Slip your hands up and close your eyes. He's here. He was there all the time. Brother Taylor sings a little song, He's Here, He's Here. Paul said, above you, in you, and everywhere. He's here. We'll ask Chris to come up. While Chris is coming up to dismiss us, just think on that. Jesus is here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And folks, we're coming down now to the end of the world. Getting closer now to the end of the world. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Peter said, yeah, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. The ends of the world. My heart is enlarged to you. Is to make you to understand, to bring things, and yet the time won't permit. Has to prepare you into things that I know that God wants you to know, that God wants you to have, so that you can be that eternal child. And in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son. Think on those things. And when it's well with you, pray with me, Brother Chris.